We've been here 4 years, I guess, and when we got here, the Barrazas were already here, I think. But they are such a blessing and have been such a blessing to this church. And tonight is bittersweet. Annalisa's going to bring the word tonight. I told her, I was kidding with her, but I might not be. I told her it was really a setup tonight, that we were going to kidnap them and not let them leave tomorrow. But we know God's got a plan for them moving forward. So for the last time, if y'all will please welcome Annalisa, and she's sharing the word tonight.
The funny story, we got here on the same time as Mike and Carol, and both Joey and myself thought that they were elders because just the way that they carried themselves. And the lawyer were like, yeah. And then lo and behold, a few years later, I'm very grateful for you guys. Okay. As they said, our family, if we haven't met you personally, we've been here for 4 years, and we are transitioning out. My husband is military, Joey's military, and we are moving to Kansas tomorrow. but I wanted to, this is really the Lord. I'm going to just open us in prayer, actually, really quickly. I'm going to open us in prayer, because this just, I feel the Lord all over tonight, and I just want to open in prayer. Lord, let my mind, my words, my voice be that of the Holy Spirit. May you be my audience. May I look to your face and only your face, Lord. Let these words that are from you be spoken back to you for you and for your glory and worship. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing here tonight. In Jesus' name. So, this message tonight is really timely for me, but also corporately. But this whole week, I'm really excited because this whole week has been kind of leading, I guess, to this moment. And yesterday when Kyle texted me and reached out, and it's like, yeah. And I sat down, I'm like, yeah, Lord, let's do this, right? And it just flowed. It just came out. And I have never had such short time to prepare, but I've never felt more prepared. So I'm really excited. for those of you that don't know, we have 5 kiddos. And during the summertime, you can find me at the pool with my 5 kids. I will teach them how to swim when they can, because I want to be at the pool just as much as they do. We were at the pool like 2 weeks ago, and my 7-year-old, who can swim, she's just not a very strong swimmer. She has to stay in the shallow end still with me and the toddler. And my 2 older girls are strong swimmers, and they can go to the deep end and jump off and swim and do all of that stuff. Well, my 7-year-old was struggling with that at the pool, and she was sitting on the stairs, and she was just, Mom, I want to go to the deep end. And I said, sweetheart, you're not quite old enough yet. You will one day, but you're not quite there yet, but you will be. And she's just like, well, I'm just going to sit on these stairs. I'm like, okay, you could do that. And you could look to the deep end and look at the fun they're having there and be consumed with that. But while that's happening, you're missing the fun that you could be having with your sister and your mom here right now. And we had this conversation, and she was able to kind of get out of it, and she had a lot of fun still. And that really stirred in my spirit as I took that outside of the pool. And I sat with it in my spirit with the Lord, and I was like, man, I really need that word. I really need that word. So if you're taking notes tonight, the name of the message is God in the Transition. If you don't, well, you do know, our family's moving tomorrow, but what some of you may not know is that our stuff, all of our house, got packed up about a month ago. So we've been doing what we call house camping. We have our camping chairs, and we've borrowed a table, and the kids have a nugget couch. We're on air mattresses, right? So we've been in a transition period for a month. And it's really easy for us to say, man, we are so ready for Kansas. Like where we have our house, where we have a bed again, we're ready. And to tell you the truth, the past few months have been transition. We've gone from selling our house to renting our house, from having a house in Kansas to not having a house in Kansas. Just kidding, we also have that house again. It's been lots of back and forth during this transition, and I kid you not, if you want to hear the story, find me after. It's been lots of ups and downs during this transition. But I'm also not the only one. This church is moving to a new building. You guys are also in transition, which is why I know this message is not just for me. It's for all of us, corporately. And I share this because I want you to know that I've walked this out. And I've just walked this out. And I'm going to tell you at the end of this the goodness that comes with it. Pastor Kyle has been teaching from Colossians, and he's been teaching a lot on seeing the return of Jesus, but not so much that we forget that we're supposed to experience that now and partner with that now. That's the big picture. That is a big picture that I want us to remember tonight, because we're going to probe that a little bit and dig deeper, and hopefully by the end of tonight, you guys walk away with understanding practically how to live that out a little bit more and how that looks and how that can look. Okay, we're going to be in 1 Peter, and if you sat through one of my teachings before, you know that I like to read it all the way through, the verses that we're going to go, and then we like to walk it back and walk through a little bit slowly. A lot of you, most of you, if you've read the word, are going to recognize the scripture, okay? We're going to talk about that too. So we're in 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to be in the first 9 verses, and I'm going to read it. I'll read it all the way through from 1 to 9. I think that it's going to be up there. We'll see. So 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ, and for sprinkling with his blood, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. Blessed be the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now, for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This scripture is always taught in reference to deep, and I don't always, most of the time, to deep sorrow, to deep trials. And that is true. But there are principles in this scripture that we can pull and look to during transitions. So I'm going to give you the big picture, because ultimately, we are the kingdom of God. I want to give us the big picture first, okay? So when Peter opens up, and I think this is just really cool and good to know, 1 Peter is written. It's written to Gentile believers, so they were not Jews before. They're Gentile believers. And when he's talking about those in exile, he's not talking about physically exiled. So Peter is already referencing the exile that believers have on this earth. So that's what he's referencing. Not a physical, they're not physically exiled into another place because there are letters that are referenced to the diaspora. Okay, so they're is referencing a figurative exile, right? In the spiritual, which I think is really powerful. Because as believers, we are currently living in a big picture transition, right? We look to the second coming of Jesus, but we live in the right here, right now reality that Jesus has come and we get to be in relationship and experience heaven right here, right now. And there's that tension that we get to live in. And I want to just say right now, this whole it has to be this or that is not scripture. It is in the tension of this that we experience God so deeply. So big picture, we are in transition. That is our life. That's where we live. Okay? But why would I bring the big picture in to talk about, like, just transition in our own life? Because even though we live in the middle of this big picture, God calls us to operate in the small. If you can remember, there is a parable in Matthew, don't have that scripture up, in Matthew, where these servants are given the money. They're given money, and the one comes back, and he had little, and he just buried it. And he comes back, and he's like, I gave you little, and you did, or I gave you much, and you did nothing. I gave him little, I will give him more. Matthew 17, maybe? We can look for it. But it's a parable that Jesus is teaching where he's talking about, if I give you little and you can steward little, I will give you much. And then, of course, later on in Matthew, if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, you will move mountains. So we live in this big picture. But God calls us to operate in the small. So when we see these transitions in our life or in our corporate gathering, this is the small. This is the small that we are operating in and stewarding. When we're moving to a new building, when we're moving to a new house. Now, transition can be hard, right? So I was sitting with the Lord in worship. I was like, okay, Lord, what are some things, transition, that you want me to just bring up? So maybe you're starting a new school next year. Maybe it's a big transition year for you, right? High school, middle school, college. Maybe it's a new year, a new school. Maybe you're starting a new job. Or your family is choosing to go down the adoption route or fostering route. Maybe you're transitioning out of a long-term marriage relationship or into a new relationship. Because transition isn't always negative. Maybe you're transitioning into a new relationship and you're excited. Maybe you're moving into a home, and that's exciting. There are principles that we can take from 1 Peter to make sure that we are living in the right here, right now, that we don't get so caught up with the end result that we lose sight of what God has for us right in front of us. Last week, everything was really gone, and we were sitting there, and Joey, my husband, he loves to get wild hair sometimes, and we're sitting there, and he's like, "Babe, what if we just left today?" I said, "Excuse me? What are you talking about?" He's like, "Well, we really don't have anything this week, and, you know, the house will be ready on the 1st. Like, we can just go and start getting settled." I said, "What?" And then I remembered what the Lord had been teaching me about transition. And we were having this conversation and going back and forth on whether it was a good idea. And I said, "You know what? No, we're not. And I think the Lord has something this week for us, and we got to be here for it. And we're going to lean in," and that's the word I use, "we got to lean in." He said, "Yeah, okay, yeah, let's lean in." And lean in we did. It's been a very, very beautiful week. And this is the end of the week. When transition is happening, it's really easy to look forward to what's ahead of you. But if we would have done that, got so caught up in the end result of this move, we would have missed a beautiful, not planned Shabbat dinner at our house yesterday where we had people over and a ton of kids and not enough chairs and a one fold-out table. We would have missed the beauty in that, the prayer that happened. But because we chose to lean into the here and now, what God has here and now, we didn't. We didn't miss it. And God blessed us immensely because of it. Because that's what he does here and now. So we're going to apply four principles from 1 Peter. Okay? I have four down. Maybe we'll get more. But in 1 Peter, the first thing that we can pull is we can live from a place of hope. That is first and foremost. We keep our eyes on heaven, we keep our eyes on the big picture, and we live from a place of hope, always, no matter what. I'm going to say that again. I have seen the deepest valley, and I'm telling you, we live from a place of hope. Always. That's the first thing that we can pull from 1 Peter. "Blessed be the God and Father, Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded." Second principle, we keep our eyes on heaven. We keep our eyes on heaven always. If I keep my eyes on God and the reality of kingdom come, I don't miss heaven. I don't miss the treasures. We live from a place of hope. We keep our eyes on heaven. What do I mean by that? We keep our eyes on the Lord. If we feel ourselves kind of our gaze dropping, this is why we're here together. Revert your eyes back. Talk to a brother or sister in Christ. We live from a place of hope, and we keep our eyes on heaven. Three, we trust that God guards our hearts. When transition shakes our foundation, even the smallest struggle can feel like the tallest mountain. We trust that God guards our heart. And this is the one that we're going to stay on, the fourth one. When in transition, we rejoice always and be filled with the glory of God. And that's hard to hear if it's a struggle, if it's a really deep trial. Rejoice always. But can I tell you something? If my eyes are on my transition, if my eyes are on, I can't wait till we get to the new church building, I can't wait until I start my new job and get that new paycheck, I can't wait until we're in our new home and I can set up the house again. If my eyes are on the transition, I've already stepped out of the principles that Peter had laid out for me. I keep my eyes on heaven. Because if my eyes are in the transition, I may rejoice if it's a happy transition. I may rejoice for a little bit. But that's not a solid foundation. But if my eyes are on heaven, my eyes are on God, I experience and can rejoice always. I experience joy. I rejoice always. If we've got nothing else to rejoice in, we rejoice that we belong to God. And that is enough. And if it's not, we've got to lay it down. And that's hard to hear when you're going through something really difficult. I know. I'm not saying this from lack of experience, but I am saying this from a place of reading the Word of God, experiencing God intimately. There is always rejoicing to be had when the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Always. In verses 8 and 9, Peter says, though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Referencing them not walking with Jesus physically on earth. And yet, these Gentile believers loved him. Though they did not walk with Jesus as his disciple on earth, did not see him here on earth as a disciple, they believe in him. They rejoice with the joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. Reading this alone, we can say, okay, I also didn't walk as a disciple of Jesus. But paired with everything else in the book of Colossians, in Ephesians, we do walk with Jesus. We walk with him right here, right now. And though you may not physically experience him right here, right now, I know some of us have, physically in form. But though that may not be your norm, to see him physically standing next to you, do you know that he walks with you? Do you know that the reality of God is right in front of you always? That you carry that when you walk into a room? Do you know that when you enter a conversation, you carry the very presence of God, because that's how intimately we walk. When we're walking in transition, sometimes it gets hard to remember that. You get so caught up in being busy. You get so caught up in what's coming next that we forget that we do believe in Him, that we do walk with Him, and that we get to rejoice with pure joy in all things, in all times. So when the ground gets shaky, I laugh because Jacob brought it up during worship, but this is another verse that the Lord poured in, and the foundation on the rock of which we stand, right? In the parable of the storm and the house got blown away, because transition is a storm. And sometimes it doesn't always feel that way, right? It can be small. But then you look back, or you're in the middle of it, we're moving churches. And there are a lot of little logistical things that have to happen before that. And sometimes those little things can shake the foundation and feel a lot bigger than they are. But remember, God operates, calls us to operate with Him in the small. Those small things that shake us allow us to practice our faith, to bring forth that faith that we have so deeply, to go even deeper. Those little things that shake us. Okay, so let's talk about a new job. This is another transition in my life. If you didn't know, I work part-time for an incredible company, and we are currently transitioning my counterpart out and someone else in, and she has been such a big blessing to me. She's become one of my best friends. It's been amazing. But now she's transitioning out, and so she's training someone else, and I'm going to be working with her, with someone new. That's a transition. And that's kind of a big transition, but it feels smooth right now. But it might not feel smooth when training happens and I'm doing the job that I wasn't doing 6 months ago because they can't do it yet. And all of a sudden, I'm shaking a little bit. And I'm so focused on the transition of my job that I lose sight of what God has right in front of me. Or if you're starting a new job and you're training, you're like, man, I'm ready to be in this position. I think I'm ready. I'm ready to stop. I don't need the training. I'm done. I just want to be done with it. So focused on moving to the new job that you miss what the Lord has for you in the training. Maybe there's a detail that you're going to catch in 6 months because you were so focused on what was happening in the training process. And the Lord's going to bless that. The Lord lives in the practical, guys. He calls us to be faithful in the small, to trust Him in the practical, to know that He lives in us. When things shake, the foundation on which your faith stands will be tested. And that is how it is. That is Scripture. And right now, in a transition, it may be small. But this right now, those little things that shake your foundation will be the things that build it up even stronger, brick by brick. Man, Jesus walked with me in this training session. Jesus walked with me as I was impatient those few days getting into our house. Man, Jesus blessed me when I just was patient and waited for him. Jesus walked with me as we got the building ready. He walked with our corporate church family as we got this building ready. And then, in 3 years, a year, when the church grows triple in size, and a bigger transition happens, the foundation doesn't shake. Because the foundation, when tested during this transition, stood on Jesus. Kept our eyes on the reality of heaven. God calls us to operate in the small. And he will bless us immensely, even more. However that looks. We're going to talk about David for a minute. I'm going to bring it home with David, okay? I love giving life examples, but scriptures are my favorite. So David was anointed king. Let's just do like a Bible trivia, right? How old was David when he was anointed king? Does anyone know? Maybe? He's around 30. He was a teen. He was like 13. He was a teenager. Does anyone know around how many years later he actually became king? Like 30 years. Well, no, like 15, 20 years. Because he was like 30. He was around 30 when he became king. Okay? But he was anointed when he was a teenager. And I don't know how you guys were when you were teenagers. If a prophet came up to me and said, "You're going to be a king every day," I'm like, okay, Lord, this is it, right? This is it. Today, every new thing, this is it. I'm ready. But David wasn't focused on becoming king. He was focused on the Lord. He was focused on walking with the Lord. So much so that he defeated Goliath before he became king. He formed this beautiful friendship with Jonathan, which ended up saving him at one point. Israel defeated the Philistines during this time, one of their biggest enemies at the time. David's faith was tested. He was chased down. He had victories in this 15-year transition. He had trials in this transition. Before he fully made it into the transition of becoming king. Had David been focused so much on becoming king, I don't know what would have happened. But I doubt he would have defeated Goliath by the hand of the Lord. I doubt he would have stood up there and said, "It's not me, it's God. Like, you don't have to face me, you have to face my God." So like David, we get to follow his example and be faithful in the in-between. It's really easy to look forward to the cool services that we're going to have at the new building. I will come back for one. Believe that, we will. But it's really exciting to look ahead at the new building and say, man, we're going to do this and have this, and it's going to be awesome. And it is, and we will. But right now, we've got to walk with the Lord and keep our eyes on him so we don't miss what's happening right here, right now. So may the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May he bless you in this transition as a whole church. May he bless you as a family. May the transition in your life that you are going through right now, be it little or big, may you walk with it so closely with the Lord. May your eyes be kept on heaven. May you operate from a place of hope. May you rejoice always. May you know how much the Lord is with you and how much you carry the Lord everywhere you go. You guys have been such a blessing to our family. I cannot even begin to express in words. And if you have not known us, I want you to know that Relentless truly walks out seeing people come alive in Christ. Pastor Kyle and you guys took a chance on me, letting me stand up here the first time, and then letting me come back again and again. And it is my honor and my thankfulness to you guys for allowing me to do that, for letting me pour into you the way that you as a church family have poured into our whole family, have loved our girls like they're your own, have sat with me and Joey, talked to us, poured into us, and loved us. There is no place like this. And I hope that all of you know that. And all of you have a place and an important spot here that the Lord wants to see come alive. And this is the place to do it. May the Lord bless you.
I have the honor to close us out tonight. Everything that's kind of went down tonight's been just, you know, I mean, Kyle made a few phone calls and everybody pulled the strings and held us together. You know, that's what happens, you know, in the body. And I shared that earlier before we got started and we began praying. I understand why I felt like the Lord was tugging on to share that before we prayed, because she began talking about David. And that's one thing I shared. I was talking with a guy this week, and he just said, you know, so many times you work so hard and you feel like you overlooked. And I told him, I said, you know, the thing is everything that's inside you is there, but it's up to you what you do with it, you know. And the Bible talks about seed and it producing after its own kind. And I began telling the story about David. And, you know, David prepared. What was inside him was a king. And what's inside each one of y'all, y'all have to know. And the thing is a transition can be a good thing or a bad thing. It's all about perspective, the way you see it. Because if you go back and you look at the Israelites, they were in transition. But when she said that word, I heard the Lord say, you're not in transition. You're in transfiguration. And that's where we're at. Transition is the way you see it. But the thing is, where we're going to be face to face. It's all about the way you look at it. Transition is a good thing or it can be a bad thing. If you want to bring along the old stuff along with you, you can be like the Israelites. But where we're going, when you get on the mountain, nothing's coming with you. And what you're taking back with you is proximity, face-to-face presence. So the thing is, if you're in transition, the thing is, where are you going? What you taking with you? Are you taking him? Are you taking your old baggage? And I think that's the thing that each one of us had to ask ourselves tonight. As we begin to walk out of here, we get ready to go to a new destination. It's just another place. The thing is each one of us are going to go to a destination every day. We're touching. What are we carrying with us? Are we carrying the old things? Are we living in the face-to-face presence? When we walk into the workplace, are we changing the workplace? That's the question. transition is a great place to be, because it's either you stale and stuck or you transition into new face-to-face encounters. And I think that's where the Lord's carrying us. So I just right now, before I close this, I just pray that it, just begin to just close your eyes and ask the Lord, what is it I need to leave behind so I can continue to walk in your presence? The newness of your presence. Right now, Father God, I just thank you for the word that was shared tonight. As each one of us are transitioning day in and day out, dying to self, seeking your face, Lord. Lord, I pray that every destination that we begin to pursue, it awakens the things that are inside us, the greatness, the seeds that have been placed there by you, God. God, I pray that you begin to just touch those places right now in each one of us. God, I pray you begin to open our spiritual eyes to see you and see our purpose. God, I begin to awaken the things that have been dead. Awaken them right now in the name of Jesus. God, I just pray right now as we go out this week that you just begin to just touch us in a new way. Begin to allow us to dream new dreams and begin to taste the newness of you. So God, I just thank you. I love you. God, I pray protection over every person here. God, I pray right now as over Kyle and Shy and the baby. God, I pray that the newness that is coming into their home will be everything that you designed it to be. God, I just thank you for the protection that you've placed over. I thank you for the protection you're going to place over us. But God, I pray that as we begin to walk out every day, that our purpose begins to come into step. The cadence. God, give us the cadence. Begin to prick our hearts that we just want more of you. So God, we just love you and we honor you. In Jesus' name, amen.